Opening my eyes. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California. Our thought for today, opening my eyes. All of us go around with our eyes closed most of the time. We look at things and we don't see anything around us. We only see the reflection of what's inside of us. And if we're happy, we see happy things around us. If we're sad, we see the sad things around us. If we're sick, we see sick things around us. If we're wealthy, we see wealthy things around us. Now, how can we see around us what we want to see? And what do we want to see? Do we want to see the bright side of life, or do we want to see the sad side of life? Well, we have that perfect permission to do so, however we wish to do it. We can see whatever we wish in life. It's just a matter of what we're thinking inside of ourselves. Remember that now. It's just a matter of what you're thinking inside of yourself. Now, I have had a lot of talks with people who want to walk their spiritual path. They say, I want to walk my spiritual path, but if I'm sexual, I can't walk my spiritual path. If I'm physical and I want to eat and drink and sleep and breathe and stuff like that, I can't walk my spiritual path. If I want to do anything human, I cannot walk my spiritual path. Is that true? And of course, the answer is no. Those are spiritual things just like anything else is a spiritual thing. Now, I would like to learn to drive a car. So I take my attention and put it on learning to drive a car. I take my attention away from many other things and I put it on driving the car. So whenever I'm going anywhere with anybody and they're driving, I'm watching how they drive. I'm paying attention to the road. I'm paying attention to how they are responding. And I'm virtually inside their head watching as they're driving. And I'm seeing how they move the gears, how they move the brake, and how they prepare, anticipating passing a car, anticipating people coming out from the side roads, anticipating being a good driver. And so my mind is very much attuned to all of those things. And so as I'm attuned to all those things, then those things are in my consciousness. Those things are in my awareness. And you might say my every thought is upon driving, because I'm so eager to drive and to get my license and to be accepted. Now, does that mean that I stop living? Does that mean that I don't go to supper? Does that mean that I don't get up in the morning and go to school or go to work? Does that mean that I don't do the things that are everyday activities for me? No. It just means that my emphasis is on driving. I have driving as my number one priority. It's my number one thought in my mind, and that's what I think about. So, we have people who want to walk their spiritual path. And they say, how can I walk my spiritual path? And I said, well, you can be a beautiful being. You can be a beautiful human being. And if you're a beautiful human being, walking your spiritual path would be quite easy. If you are a naughty human being, walking your spiritual path will not be so easy, because you will not like yourself. You mean I don't like myself if I'm a naughty person? That's right. You know it. And you don't like yourself. Naughty people don't like themselves. They're always looking at other people, judging other people, trying to compare other people to what they're doing, and saying, see, they do bad things too. See, they don't obey the law too. See, they are this way too. And that is not the benefit of going right. That's the benefit of going wrong. So, if you want to walk your spiritual path, if you want to be a divine being, then it takes concentration on what it means to be divine and what you think it means to walk your spiritual path. Now, what do you think it means to walk your spiritual path? Do you think it means that you're always holding high and lofty thoughts? Not bad. Do you think it means that you're always looking for the good in yourself and your world? Not bad. Do you think it means that you recognize that God is good and that you are God and that you are good, looks like you're walking down the right street there. Does it mean that you cannot eat a good lusty meal and say, wow, that was good. Oh man, I could eat two more platefuls. No, doesn't mean that. Does it mean that you stop smoking, stop drinking, stop doing all the negative things that society is calling negative? Could be, and not necessarily. The Fortune magazine, on their cover, they have a pumphrey. That's a potato, a fried potato that you get at McDonald's, sticking in the holder of an ashtray. You know how an ashtray holds a cigarette? Mm-hmm. Well, they have a fried potato sticking in there. And they say, soon there will be a law against fat. Soon there will be a law against fat. Now, you see, the fried potato itself is not fat. It is that it's fried that makes it fat. The potato itself is a very bland object, and it does not really defend or offend or bother us, but it's the frying that does it. The salad itself is not bad. It's the dressing that we put on the salad. That's what makes it a heavy-duty salad. These meat that we eat, or the various things that we eat of themselves, are not bad. It's the sauces we put on them. Our household here is hung up on sauces. We love sauces, rich sauces, and we keep having them, and we keep saying, I'm going to diet, I'm going to diet, and I'm just going to eat the sauce, and I'm not going to eat the potatoes, and I'm not going to eat the meat. The sauce is where all the value is, in all of the richness and all the things that makes you have a body that you say you don't want. But that's what it's all about. Now, how are we going to direct our attention to any one area of our life? How are we going to direct our attention to making number one enemy fried potatoes? That's what Fortune magazine is suggesting on their cover. And for a major magazine, a business magazine, to make such a statement on their cover is quite a statement. It's quite something. It's been given a lot of thought. It's been because people look at, ha, ha, ha. You know, you're going to take my fried potatoes away from me now, huh? How about that, you know? So, what is it that they really want to do? What is it? We have opening my eyes. Are fried potatoes a real hazard? Yes. Is one fried potato a real hazard? Yes. Are two fried potatoes a real hazard? Oh, yes. Are three and four a real hazard? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Now, how can we stop eating something that we so greatly enjoy? Fried chicken, fried potatoes, fried corn, fried bread, fried this, fried that. Hey, that's part of the American tradition. And how are we going to change that? Well, we aren't going to change it. We're going to find pleasure in eating things that you might say are not fried, but that's not the point. We're going to find pleasure in eating things like baked potatoes, like baked squash, like baked things. Now, broiled, that also drips the oil out of things rather than into things. That can be a beneficial thing too. There can be many ways of cooking and preparing foods that doesn't. What is the Italians' favorite sauce for their salad? Vinegar and oil. Oil!
Thank God.
Well, yes. Vinegar and oil. This, I'm talking about the oil. Okay, Ingeborg says garlic, because Ingeborg loves garlic. I think if you'd give Ingeborg a bottle of garlic for supper and then put a little bit of bread beside it, she'd be perfectly happy, you know. Perfectly happy. So, in other words, where do we direct our attention? Where do we direct our aims in life, our joys? What do we see? As we say here, open my eyes. How do I open my eyes to the truth about my nature, to the truth about who I am and what I want to be? How can I be that spiritual being that I aspire to so much in my heart? How can I be that? Well, you can be it by only one thing, by opening your eyes. Opening your eyes to who you are. You are right now that spiritual being. You have covered it over with French fries, and you've covered it over with attitudes. You've covered it over with all sorts of things. I was looking up and answering a letter today from one of our students in the Philippines. I was looking up the word sex, and in the word, it is very interesting, because how it defines it, it defines sex and foreplay and things like that as something, and morality, as something that society has created as a inhibition for humanity so that they don't get themselves into trouble. Well, before society had those things, it didn't get into trouble either, did it? So, what is it that is making us get into trouble? Well, what makes us get into trouble is our attitude about these things. Now, she asked the question about forgiveness, and she had read in the gist in January where it said, forgiveness is an impossible condition for what we meant to do, for we meant to do what we did. And I say, whenever we hurt another, we had intended to do it, even if we say we did not mean to do it. Nothing happens by chance. Everything takes place in our lives by our choice. If we can say when we kick someone, I meant to do that, then we can add later, I meant to kick you, but now I have done it, and it is over. Now I like you, and though I'm not sorry I kicked you, I do not think of it any longer. We can not get or give forgiveness of the past. It is now over, and a new beginning is taking place, and that is the only consequence we meant what we did. Now we are ready to mean something new and wonderful. Smile. And then they ask about the role of sex in a relationship. And here we are opening our eyes to it. And I write a couple of lovely paragraphs here, which are very significant. And I say, sex has nothing to do with a relationship. Sex is the act of a physical body with another physical body, stimulated by human emotions for both a physical and emotional release. There's absolutely nothing wrong with sex. It is a perfectly natural thing for two beings to share with one another. It takes place when loving ends. It takes place when loving ends. It is not the frosting on the cake. It is another cake for another purpose, human release. Now we might ask, what is the role of love in a relationship? The role of love in a relationship is the recognition of oneness. Just as you give yourself an energy massage by taking your fingertips and flowing over your body or the body of a loved one, never touching the skin, but harmonizing with the radiant, vibrant energy of the body, and the fingertips bring about an experience never before imagined. The entire body tingles, yet it is not touched. You are emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually alive. That is what happens when you have what is called the foreplay of a relationship. The foreplay is the love of lovers who behold one another in thought and are emotionally charged by the experience. Foreplay is the love of lovers who think of one another and feel dynamic, charged with magic and enthusiasm, never measured or known before. The definition of foreplay is that which comes before an event or sexual intercourse. Purposefully, we can look at foreplay as that which precedes oneness, the act of caring and sharing which comes before feeling one with your beloved. Sex is a normal response to the physical body's built-in divine pattern. It is totally indiscriminate. Society has created rules called morals, conforming to established, sanctioned codes or accepted notions of right and wrong, and scruples, an ethical consideration or principle that inhibits action, which guide and direct how sex is to be conducted and with whom it is to be conducted. These morals can be so inhibiting that sex is more a curse than a blessing. In its natural state, it is simply a part of humans responding to humans, as animals respond to the mating urge, not a sexual urge, as a thing separate from their being. Thus, in a relationship, sex depends on the motivation of the relationship. In a relationship, one where a mutual caring exists beyond the ability to have sex, is the relationship one where a mutual caring exists beyond the ability to have sex? Is sex irrelevant to a relationship? Or is the relationship just another way of preparing for the sexual act? Again, sex is not wrong or bad. It is just a matter of asking the question, why are we having the relationship? For the foreplay in preparation for sex, or the foreplay in preparation of mental, physical, emotional, spiritual oneness? Smile. Either way is marvelous. So, these are things that we are thinking about, putting in our mind, putting in our attention, and bringing forth into our world. They're wonderful, they're fantastic, they're joyous, but when we open our eyes, we see what's the real reason we're doing anything. Why are we unhappy with other people? What's the real reason? And it comes back to the simple statement, because we're unhappy with ourselves. Why are we unhappy with our job? Because we are unhappy with ourselves. Why are we unhappy with our wife or husband or children? Because we're unhappy with ourselves. When we can learn to be happy with ourselves, we will be happy with our job, we'll be happy with our wife or children or spouse, we'll be happy with all in our world. When we learn to like ourselves, everything works out perfectly. Open my eyes. Yes, open my eyes to recognize that all is beautiful and good and right now. Make that statement for yourself. Enjoy it, because you're fantastic. You deserve the very best. But if you don't open your eyes, you can't have it. The blind person feeling an elephant thinks an elephant is the tail or the leg or the trunk, not seeing the whole picture. You can open your eyes. You're not blind. And you can see the whole picture. And even if you are one of our audience who listening to this and are blind, you can see beyond your sightless eyes. You see with your spirit. You see with your mind. You see with your soul. In fact, one of the psychics was driving down the streets of Germany blindfolded, and he just showed that he could drive blind, and he could not see. The blindfold was so securely in place that it was obvious he could not see. Yet he knew the street, he knew the cars, he knew the people walking along, he knew everything. Uri Geller was the man. Now, why did he do that? Because he listened within. You too can listen within. If you can do that blindfolded, you can surely do it with your eyes open. However, with your eyes open, you'll have many distractions. Let those distractions go. Listen to the divine within and watch the magic take place in your life, because you deserve every bit of it. I love you.